This is Greg Olson, and I'm thrilled to introduce my new podcast, TE1. TE1 will chronicle a 60-year evolution of the tight end position, from its origins as an obscure, overlooked blocking role to the versatile superstar position that it is today. I'll explore the evolution of the position through conversations with some of the all-time game-changing tight ends. And just like the incredible tight ends we sit down with on my new show, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. This truck is all about grit, strength, and dependability. The same attributes it takes to be a tight end.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Oh! Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds. Middleton. Yes! Chris Middleton.
Hello and welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks off-season podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. As I basically already said, I'm Ty Windisch. I'm here with the astronomically good at this Rohan Kadi to break down the Milwaukee Bucks 103-94 loss to the Miami Heat, which, of course, considering the Bucks were down 3-1 heading into this game, marks the end of their season. The Bucks go down in the second round in 5 games, marking their worst playoff exit. Well, since they've been very good, it's only 2 options, so I guess it's not saying a ton, but that's where we're at. Rohan, where are you at?
This probably isn't the greatest place to start a pod, but they reached as far as Joel Embiid has reached in his career.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? Fair. Well, I guess he got to game 7, at least.
The Bucks have also been to the conference finals.
Well, yeah. But I just on this run. But yeah, I see what you're saying. I like that slander is getting you through.
I'm
these
trying to
tough
make
times.
Myself feel better, Ty. You asked how I'm doing. I'm not feeling that great, okay?
I just cracked open a beer. So I don't normally do this. I don't normally do this for podcasts, but I'm going with the Zach Lowe exactly one beer. After the game, well, there's another game on, but I'm not watching it. I'm not covering it, just because I wouldn't say I needed it. That sounds a little more rough than the situation, but it felt like I deserved it. After going through this series in particular, the Bucks, after starting off great, a 28-19 lead to end the first quarter, get outscored by 3 straight quarters, which, hey, they outscored Miami in 3 straight quarters in 2 different games. And
6 straight quarters in general.
Yeah, that was great when that happened, but they don't do that in this game. They lose by 9. Basically, I mean, it just felt like Miami as a team overwhelmed the Bucks. The shorthanded Bucks, should have mentioned this already, but Giannis Antetokounmpo missed tonight's game with that severely-looking sprained ankle. I think we were both of the mindset that based on the reports that came out after game 4, there was just no way he should have tried to play. There can be very serious repercussions to a severely sprained ankle if you keep trying to play on it, and no one wants that for Giannis. So hopefully now he can fully recover and be ready for next season. Hopefully he spends next season in Milwaukee. So no Giannis. The Bucks, to me, just did not seem like they had enough firepower despite the hot start.
It seemed like they couldn't really get over the hump, even though, like you said, they did have that hot start, but it felt like more lucky shooting, maybe not lucky, but high percentage shooting for Milwaukee and very low percentage shooting for Miami, which we can get into why that really happened. But it seemed like ever since the second quarter when Miami really got back into this game, it was just an uphill battle that they couldn't fully climb. They were always almost at the mountaintop, but just couldn't quite get there. And eventually they just slid down the hill.
Yeah, that is a good, somber way to put it. And I think, you know, it seems like a foregone conclusion that a team without its best player, who is as good of a player as Giannis, even if outside of, you know, his very short run in game 4, did not look all that good in this series. It seems obvious that they wouldn't have enough firepower. The Bucks got truly poor contributions from a lot of players today, and this game is a perfect example of why to never, ever trust single game plus minus. Do you know who had the best plus minus out of all Bucks except for Kyle Korver, who only played in the early part of the game?
I do, unfortunately.
Eric Bledsoe, yeah. Who I think, I will say, good defensive game for Bledsoe. Mostly, I thought he was tenacious on that end. He does have 9 assists to just 1 turnover. Just truly abysmal otherwise showing
two
on offense.
2 of 12.
4 attempted threes, which we've talked about this. That's too many threes for Eric Bledsoe. I think
actually,
that's too many threes.
To be fair, I'm pretty sure last pod I said 1 for 4 is like good enough.
You did say that. I did not say that.
You really had to spite me, Eric Bledsoe.
He said, oh, that's good enough? Bet. Also 4 for 6 from the stripe. 2 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 2 fouls. I think the thing with Bledsoe is...
he was trash. That's the thing.
Yeah, he was. So, like, if Eric Bledsoe is your 5th starter, maybe you can live a performance like this. Like, again, outside of the unable to make any shots. The rest of the game, solid. Solid. You know, good assist turnover, good contribution on
defense. Aside from the biggest point in basketball.
Exactly. And that's the thing. You can find the silver linings, but at the end of the day, he just wasn't good enough. I think that's true for all of the Bucks players, considering the stations that they are in, except for like Marv played well, barely played. Dante DiVincenzo can play again. He's probably the best Buck. Wes Matthews played really well, I think, in this game. The minutes numbers for those three guys I feel good about this. I've been really high on these three guys all season. Low on Dante in the bubble, but he earned it back for me. And in my rotation I shared on Twitter today, I had Dante with about as many minutes as Eric Bledsoe, because I'm a Dante believer. He won me back over, and he was really, really good in this game. But Marvin Williams plays 20 minutes, 31 seconds. Dante plays just under 28 minutes. Wes Matthews, 28 minutes, 41 seconds. No foul trouble. 1 personal foul in this game. He was good on offense. He missed all 3 of his threes, but really made some shots fall within the arc. Made 5 of his 6 free throws, grabbed a rebound, dished an assist, 2 steals, 2 blocks, no turnovers.
His defense was phenomenal.
Oh my goodness. Like, and he's a minus 8 in the game. Again, I think this is a noisy plus minus game. I think he and Dante were the best 2 Bucks by a pretty wide margin. It's just one of those where he just was contributing so positively on both ends. And I'm never glad the Bucks lose. I'm not glad this is over, even if after 2 games in the Miami series, and really game 3 is when I thought it was over, but even after 2 games, I think I said I thought they were done. I kind of just was like, I've seen this suffering enough, and I kind of want it to end just because I just didn't believe in them. And they mostly, Bud, reaffirmed that belief of, or that lack of belief of mine. But I'm glad that we're going out the way we got into this. Because it almost seemed like after game 4, it seemed like the coaching was coming around a little bit. All the Chris minutes. And I think there were some other bad things that we overlooked just because it was like so fun and refreshing to win a game. But now, again, after this loss, the latest in a very incredibly disappointing playoff run, we have very clear, obvious things to point towards and say, this is a huge problem and completely inexplicable and a reason that the Bucks need a new head coach. Less than 29 minutes for Wesley Matthews in this game is just outrageous. I mean, Pat Connaughton gets up to 14. I thought he was terrible in this game. I don't think he was adding anything. Kyle Korver gets 6.
Pat Connaughton saying he was terrible was an understatement. That's the entire he's the entire reason that Miami got back in this game.
Oh, yeah. No, those two played together, Korver and Connaughton. Korver hit a 3. He also coughed up, I think, one of the ugliest turnovers ever, if I'm remembering right. Yep. And just like, again, just a guy that the Heat don't take seriously on defense at all. Connaughton, though, probably the worst defensive game I've ever seen from him. And it wasn't just like I've grown numb to the jumping behind guys. We saw that, too. Like, Jay Crowder blew past him. Like, Connaughton set on defense. Jay Crowder blew past him and got to the rim like it was nothing. And then someone else did too. And I'm just like,
Kendrick Nunn,
who has been awful for most of this series. Like, these are not like your Goran Dragic's or your Jimmy Butler's, who you know are very good with the ball in their hands. And Jay Crowder, phenomenal series for him. But he hasn't been getting to the rim all the time. I mean, this game's in the series where all of his shots have been threes. To have him just blow by Pat Connaughton, who I don't even think he pump faked. Like, he just dribbled past him. It was inexplicable, and then Pat just kept getting minutes, and you're exactly right. I mean, those two, particularly Pat, but I think Korver as well, getting those first half minutes, is what blew the lead for the Bucks. And I think it was like the middle of the third quarter. Milwaukee holds the Heat scoreless, but is also unable to score. And then the Heat go on a little run. And at that point, I was like, I think it's over. I think they lost their chance. Because I think to win this game against this fully staffed Heat squad, the Bucks pretty much needed to capitalize on that hot start and carry that lead throughout. Like, I didn't think they'd be able to pull a comeback. And they blew the lead, and they never pulled the comeback.
Yeah, like I said earlier, it just seemed like an uphill battle once they let Miami get back into the game. It was just, I think they just didn't have enough juice in them. They couldn't make any shots. Everything sort of fell short. It seemed like they were already mentally checking out of the ball game a little bit.
Some of them.
I mean, I know they have that thing where it's like if you have an elimination game, you have to pack your bags. I think some of them were just thinking like, yeah, let's just go home.
I will respect Wesley Matthews, Dante DiVincenzo, Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton, and Marvin Williams for a long time. So that was the list of five guys who I felt like really fought. I didn't think Chris was particularly great, but Miami afforded him a lot of attention on defense and for good reason.
Hey, at least he was getting shots up. He was being aggressive.
He took 25 shots. He
only made 8 of them.
Yeah, 2 for 9 from deep as well. Not a good shooting night. He gets 6 free throws, 23 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 6 turnovers, 1 steal. I mean, there's questions like Chris might not be good enough to be the second guy in a title team. There was no question coming in or at any point if he was like good enough to be the first guy. I mean, it's just we all know he's not. He can't be the main guy. I mean, if you wondered, like, if Giannis does leave and they try to keep going forward, what will it look like? Probably look like this. Not great. Chris is a complimentary star. He is not a focal centerpiece of an offense. And the Heat do have a lot of good defenders. It's a bad matchup for any wing player without a lot of help. But Chris was unable to, you know, overpower that defense consistently, and that's what it was. But I think... And Bledsoe tried. I just think he was terrible. George Hill.
Passed up so many threes.
Just terrible, I think, in the bubble overall. Like, I don't think he had as much of an impact as I'm used to defensively. He wasn't getting to the rim with regularity. I mean, George Hill was quietly just about as bad as Eric Bledsoe. I mean, probably worse. 1 for 8 from deep. 0 for 3 from three. So he makes less threes than Bledsoe. He has 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 foul. 2 points. 2 points for George Hill in 28 minutes. I mean, this is who's supposed
Those
to be the Bucks.
Those 2 points were the weird Pat Connaughton lost the ball and somehow it came to George Hill and he put it up for an uncontested layup. Those were his only 2 points on the night.
Oh, that's a great call. Yeah. So basically did not create any real offense. He found a bucket and inserted it into the basket and that was it. This guy's supposed to be the Bucks six man. I mean, he's supposed to be the reliable bench presence. I don't know... I don't think he's just washed. I don't think he's just cooked. I don't know if it's just a bubble thing. He never really seemed to be great in the bubble. And again, that's the other part of this. I mean, I think there is just some inherent weirdness going on in the bubble, but no other team supposedly this good has looked this bad except for the Bucks. So, I mean, there's a lot of circumstances going on in the bubble, outside of the bubble. We've touched on these things before. I don't feel like it's right to give the Bucks a pass for that, considering, again, they're not the only team in the bubble. They're not the only team living in this country, yada, yada, yada. But I think probably worth noting, right?
Yeah, that's fair. But like you said, every team is really going through this. It's just, I don't know. I started this when you were talking off air. It's just tough to stomach that the Milwaukee Bucks season is over.
Yeah.
It really
is. It is. It just doesn't feel right.
It doesn't. This was a team that we expected to really at least get to the finals, realistically. And they won one game in the second round.
I think if the Heat were going to win, the Heat were going to win. I don't think they should have in any galaxy. Winning one game, though, I mean, that is...
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's just straight really up embarrassing. Bad. This you tout yourself as like, oh, are we a title contender? We want to trust the results sort of mentality that this franchise has. And then you say that you're a title contender this entire time. All the expectation is a title for this team. You have the Bucks social media account tweeting like green bars after every win, like with a total of 16 of them there, and you only get to 5. Like, that's just embarrassing.
Yeah, not even one third of the way there. I had to really think about that in my head. That's how bad I am at math.
Math is hard.
It is hard. And this is hard too, but I've already teased this on Twitter. We've talked about this. I mean, we're gonna go through every part of this roster from here on out. It feels like we're gonna have at least a solid amount of time before even we get to like the actual off season. Just today, during the game, of course, reports came out that free agency and the draft are getting pushed back from their original dates, which I think were in November.
The draft was in October.
Oh, they were in late October, so they're getting pushed back. So we'll see. I think maybe they think it'll be in November. We'll see. But either way, between now and whenever
it is September 8th.
Oh, today is September.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I thought you were saying it was supposed to be September. I was like, wait, the draft was supposed to be today? that got me for a second. But we'll be here, and we're gonna do a lot of coverage. But I don't know what else from this game sticks out. I mean, I think. Going in, did you think, I know we talked about this last time, did you think there was a realistic chance of, I'll just say tonight, was there a realistic chance the Bucks win tonight, did you think?
Yeah, I really thought there was. I really thought they were going to win this game, especially after the first quarter. I mean, how could you not? This team seemed like they had actually figured things out. There's a lot of off-ball movement, cutting, guys finding the right spots. It just seemed like everything was sort of clicking. They were getting back to their, you know, systematic way of play, even though it might not be, you know, the best idea, but at least it's better than nothing what they were getting earlier against Miami. But it just seemed like they were going to win this game. They were going to pull it out somehow. I mean, credit to Miami. They really shut the door on Milwaukee here. They clamped down on defense. Andre Iguodala actually had a positive contribution for once in the series, and was actually, you know, like locking down on defense. They had to make adjustments in the middle of the game. Wild how you can do that. And they just took it to Milwaukee. They didn't let them come out for a breath of air. They just completely suffocated them ever since that first quarter.
Yeah, they did. And the Bucks, after scoring 28 in that first quarter, followed up with 18 in the second and 19 in the third, which obviously is just not going to get it done. Interesting, though. I mean, really, that second quarter is what cost them the game. The Bucks lose the third quarter by 2 and the fourth quarter by just 1, although there is garbage time in there. Wild stat, though. Second half, the Bucks dead even in Chris Middleton's 21 minutes. I mean, the guy 3-for-15 from the field in that time.
Oh, man. We do have a little bit of breaking news.
Oh, what do we got?
Oh, this is kind of sad. We just saw the last NBA game from Marvin Williams. He's retiring.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Mark Spears from the Undefeated said that Bucks forward Marvin Williams told the Undefeated he is retiring from the NBA after playing for 15 seasons. I've been very blessed. God has been very good to me.
Oh, man. Oh, that is such a bummer. You know, he went out good.
Really sad. I'm sad.
That is, I wanted Marv on the team again next year. I was really wondering how they could have kept him. Oh, man. I mean, listen, I'm glad that he's got this positive outlook. I mean, Marvin Williams, if you don't remember, I mean, drafted third overall, I think, or second?
He was a very second high overall. Second overall.
He was after Bogut. Really, oh, that's a crazy Bucks tie there. But never really, you know, lived up to the quote-unquote second overall stature, but good career, made himself into a very good veteran. In this one, puts up 11 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist. In 20 minutes, shoots 50% from the field, makes one of his 3 triples. A consummate professional. I think a great teammate. Yep. I think a really useful player. And
nothing but positive things.
Nothing. I mean, that hits me like a brick, man.
Yeah. I thought we had another one right here. But again, from Mark J. Spears, he said Bucks guard Kyle Korver told the Undefeated he will talk to his family before deciding on his NBA future. So that probably means retirement.
Maybe. It doesn't really hit me the same. But... Marv, I think, was closer to being a very useful player in crunch time situations. But still, that would be sad too. I mean, Korver, came in here and did what we all thought he was going to do, and half player, half shooting coach. Oh, the Bucks roster kind of got a little younger by default, I suppose.
Yep.
Wow. Well, that's something.
We are in the off season, I guess.
The Bucks are. Some teams aren't.
Dang. This is just hitting me. Yeah. I don't like it, Ty. I don't like it.
You know, I don't love it either. I really do not. I mean, the Bucks counted on some of these guys, and they're totally within their rights and everything to retire. It's, you know, the season's over. It's not like either of them had. I mean, Korver doesn't really know, but no one had a retirement tour. They didn't take any focus away from them, but it's still. I mean, the Bucks, especially Williams, is someone the Bucks counted on, just like you and I, Rohan, count on restaurants, and now they're counting on us and you, listener. And while their dining rooms may sometimes be closed, they're all still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery too. They are losing money right now, folks, because Bucks fans cannot be in some of them, drowning their sorrows. So help them out with DoorDash. Just open the app, select your favorite local spot, and your food is on its way. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when they download the DoorDash app and enter promo code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on that first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter promo code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget, that's promo code BLUEWIRE for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. And this ad becomes more relevant by the day for Bucks fans. Sundays are coming back in the NFL this week. And with NFL SundayTicket.tv, you can stream every live, out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite devices. Plus, Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels mean you will never miss your favorite teams and favorite players. Now, with the Bucks out of the picture, it's the perfect time to sign up. No matter where you live, NFLSundayTicket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to get $15 off your subscription. Just go and visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE. Okay, we're post-ad reads. Does anybody else retire?
Not that I've seen so far.
Are you still here? Have you made it? Have you talked to your family?
I'm still gonna be here. Okay. As you said earlier, we're gonna keep doing this content throughout this off season. Oh God, that just feels gross to say. But yeah, we're just gonna have a flurry of quotes coming in because Bucks are doing media rounds. So
do you have one here?
I mean, we got Mike Budenholzer choked up talking about the Bucks protest after the elimination loss to the Heat. This is from Ben Golliver. What the team stands for, the character, the humanity, to stand and be on the right side of history. That was emotional. It's such a great group. That's what we've gotten so far.
Fair. I'm not gonna try and duck on that. I mean, I'm sure there'll be others that we'll have. That's a fair statement. I fact checked it, found it to be true. What else game wise do you think we should touch on? I think pretty much everyone wasn't good enough. I guess bright side, we could focus on your guy Dante, or I don't know, where do you want to go?
I think we can talk Dante a little if we're going a little optimistic for the future.
Young core, as I've said, yep, he's it. The young core did well.
That's him.
Oh, brother.
Oh, God, please, Giannis, stay.
So Dante, though.
Yeah. So he plays just 5 seconds under 28 minutes. He's 5 of 9 from the field, 3 of 6 from three. He was just making big boy plays as he does, like, you know, pre hiatus when he actually had, you know, a decent role in the rotation and like wasn't just an absolute tire fire in the seeding games and first round of the playoffs. And I guess first three games of this series too. So he had a decent game, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 turnovers, 1 steal. He did end up fouling out of this game. I don't even remember that happening, but he had 6 fouls to total 17 points. It was a solid game from him overall. Like you said, he might have been the best Buck on the floor. He just seemed to be making like those winning plays that you need consistently from really good players, not just like, you know, role players. So I don't know. It's kind of like if you need Dante to be making these plays, you're really in a tough situation, or, oh man, Dante is already doing this. You could look at it two ways.
I don't think they should have needed him as much as they did. A little surprised he got the starting spot again. I really thought Marvin Williams was going to slide in there, but
I think they really wanted to go small. I think because they realized that was the way they needed to beat Miami is by attacking switches when you're going small. Like, they were just hunting Dragic at the beginning of this game, at least in the first half. They were just hunting him as they continued their attack from game four in the second half, where they were just hunting him on every single possible switch. They started doing that again. So I think them going small really helps with that. So they were starting Bledsoe, Dante, Wes, Chris, and Brooke. So you're just going super small there to try to maximize your effectiveness against this Miami defense.
Just, I want to point out, they started going after Dragic in the second half of game four. That's how long it took to figure that one out. Just an observation.
Yep.
But Dante, mm-hmm. Dante played well.
Yeah. Are you tweeting during the pod?
Sort of. Sometimes.
Sorry, I just saw that. That's very funny.
I had to give Marvin Williams his flowers.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. That's still hitting me. That's really sad. Like, this guy came to Milwaukee to win a championship to try to bow out his career, and they didn't do it.
He said, "This stinks."
Yeah.
He said, "I'm
not
good.
Doing this again.
I'm good. This stinks.
It's not worth
it." Made him retire, man. Great factoid from Kevin Chouinard at KL Chouinard here. Former Bucks blog MVP. Eric Bledsoe finds himself in rare company, folks. 231 NBA players, I have NFL Sunday Ticket on the brain. 231 NBA players have attempted 130 plus playoff threes. The bottom three by percentage. Charles Barkley, Eric Bledsoe, Magic Johnson. Maybe we should rethink our Bled commentary. I mean, this guy's in elite company. This guy is up there with the greats. We're down there.
Barkley and Magic. Oh my god! That's my reaction. That's my analysis.
So I think let's do a gut check. We agreed Bud had to go after game two or three, whatever.
Yeah,
it was.
He still has to go.
Okay, I figured that though to you just in case. I don't know what there is to see. Maybe you saw something.
No, they got to do it right now so they can get in on the tie lose.
Tyloo is still out there, man.
Yeah. I think, this is my conspiracy theory. He saw, the report that he was talking with the 76ers came out during this series, right?
I think it was, early, after game one, I want to say.
Okay, so he saw that, maybe there's a chance that the Bucks fire Budenholzer. Let me lurk around here.
That's one of the rare nuggets of optimism we're going to have on this podcast. I'm here for it. I like that theory.
Billy Donovan seems like kind of a wash with Budenholzer.
Yeah, I would not want Billy. I watched some of that Thunder Rockets series, and Steven Adams is hobbling around, unable to do anything against that super small Houston team, and he just kept being out there. So I'm good. It felt way too similar. Maybe a little less inept, but way too similar to what we got this series, and I don't think I'd feel much better. I want Ty Lue. If not Ty Lue, find somebody who we don't really know much about, but seems really promising.
Yeah, it's just you can't go with a proven commodity because you did that and it didn't work.
Unless they're legit proven champions.
Yeah, that's fair. But think about it. Who are the last three coaches to win a championship? Nick Nurse, Steve Kerr, and Ty Lue. They came from out of nowhere. This was their I think all three of them were first-time head coaches. No, Ty Lue wasn't.
So.
Or was Ty Lue? His first time being a head coach, right?
I thought it was. I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah, three first-time head coaches are the last three coaches to win a title. So you got to do it that way, I guess.
Great, great point there. I would still take Ty Lue if he was available. But that is a good point.
No, I'm just like, obviously, yes, I would take Ty Lue if he was available. Fantastic coach. I'm just saying, like, if you can't get him, you got to go with like an up and comer. You got to go with someone who can bring a different voice, because just you can't go with the Mike Budenholzers of the world, evidently. You can't go with the proven Spurs assistant that's been doing this, because that's what Mike Budenholzer is. He's the prototypical, he's the best case scenario for a Spurs assistant at this point, isn't he?
Probably.
Like a coach of the year who came from the Pop Tree. Like, that's really, that's the best case scenario for any Spurs assistant.
I believe
and
so.
And it's just, it's not enough to get the job done.
No. No, it's not. And, I mean, there's like, there was Pop to the Nets smoke before that blew up. Honestly, wouldn't really be all that interested in Pop. This might be a hot take. I don't think he's been very good the last few years. I think, I mean, we saw him with a couple bucks in Team USA, and he was awful. I think for me, it's Ty Lue or somebody like you said. Maybe Darvin Ham. Honestly, give Darvin Ham an interview. Maybe Darvin Ham.
Jacques Vaughn,
maybe too. I mean, he had a little bit with the Magic and wasn't great, but it's the Magic. I don't know. Somebody who hasn't coached like 200 mediocre games. Like, if like Steve Clifford gets let go, please God, like not Steve Clifford. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want that.
Yeah, not someone who's a broadcaster around.
Who's right now. I don't want that either.
Oh God, no. Who would it be? Mark Jackson, the Van Gundys? Like, no, thank you.
Stan Van Gundy is like, I've seen some positive thought to that, but I'm good. He's so good on podcasts. Let him do that, man.
Yeah, no, Stan Van Gundy, he's been killing it on broadcasts, on social media. He's been fantastic.
Yeah.
Honestly, he was never really a bad coach. It was just when he had to meld the front office responsibilities with the coaching is when it really got bad. I can't believe talking myself into Stan Van Gundy right now.
He would be okay. He would probably be okay. He's certainly the best out of all the like broadcasters who might be a coach. Like I think he'd be solid. Yeah, I wouldn't hate that hire. And we'd get really good content. But I would prefer Ty Lue or, like I said, an assistant who just like knocks everybody's socks off.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Maybe like a Kenny Atkinson or something.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. You gotta wait till they take the plane home so it's not super awkward, and then just fire Bud.
Yeah, I think that's what I really want to see.
Do it soon, I'm gonna be disappointed. If Ty Lue is off the board, I'm gonna be livid on this podcast.
Well, that's what I want to bring up. I mean, there's a chance they don't do it. It seems impossible. I think it's not impossible. I mean, I've seen some folks with varying levels of insight kind of say anything from I don't think they will to they might not. I don't know. I think a lot of it, honestly, will unfairly come down to what his Giannis contract thinks and says. Oh, that too. I mean, he's owed quite a bit of money still. But like, I mean, if Giannis firmly said like we need somebody else, and I think they'll get somebody else, I don't know if he's the kind of guy to do that. He has been very snippy, it seems like, about Bud and some of these press conferences, but Giannis is also intensely loyal. So it's interesting. I don't know. We'll see what the front office and ownership decides on. It would cost a lot of money to release him. They have furloughed some staff for the last several months now as a cost-cutting measure in these, you know, complicated economic times. I'm not justifying that decision. The Bucks make a lot of money because of players like Giannis. I personally am not reacting favorably to this furloughing,
which is never a good idea.
Never a good idea, which has been kept very quiet. But I can confirm that happened. But it's just something to think about. I don't know if it says definitively anything either way, but the Bucks, like most big corporations, which is basically what they are at the end of the day, don't enjoy spending money when they don't have to. But personally, I would hope that it's just beyond obvious that Budenholzer is not tenable as a coach if you want to win a championship. We will see. We will see what happens. I don't know. I'm just, to you personally, Rohan, and everyone listening who already has the Fire Bud profile pick,
I feel like brace yourself for the possibility. Fire Bud profile pick.
Oh, sorry. You don't. Yet.
I never went full like profile pic change though for the Fire Kid.
I feel like you've had the same pick for a while. I think you like how it looks. I don't blame you. It's a good pick.
Thank you. I've had some people in my life constantly, girlfriend, just constantly berate me about how I need to change it. But
I don't think she's looking for the fire, bud.
Probably not.
I don't think that's the vibe she's looking for. Milwaukee Bucks vibe check. Not good. I'm taking your job on that one.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think I'm going to go full profile pick change. But, yeah, it's just, it's like you said, it's untenable. I think it's untenable at this point, honestly. Like, you've tried. You've failed twice. You have no room for error here. You got to do it. You got to do it. Literally, this is the most important offseason in Milwaukee Bucks franchise history. And that's not an understatement. You have literally the franchise to decide this offseason. You can either make a dynasty or you can make a team that's threatened to be relocated every year. That's the decision that you're making this offseason. That is really what it comes down to. You have to make decisions that either make yourself a dynasty or just get ready to burn the whole thing to the ground. And I think I know what they want, but are they willing to do it? That's the question.
Could not say it any better. Great, great, great way to put that, Rohan. Tremendous, really. Yeah, I really hope they don't run it. I mean, I've said this many times. I've made it very clear on Twitter, other places. It just, like, the next season just would not feel enjoyable because there's no way you can possibly talk yourself into this guy not being this guy in the playoffs as a head coach.
Unless there's major personnel changes.
I'd still be concerned all along. I mean,
yeah, me too. But it's like, that's the only way you might have, like, okay, I guess maybe we could do this, you know?
Yeah. I would feel better about mostly the same personnel and a different coach than I would about the same coach and mostly different personnel, I think. Unless they, like, pulled off something absolutely outrageous, which, again, we'll cover all the bases. But I want to do something fun here.
Okay, let's do it.
Maybe it's not that fun. We'll see.
It can't be better than thinking about the Bucks being out.
It's fair. So let's assume, let's play, like, imagine, you know how you get, like, a team gets an amount of players they can protect in an expansion draft?
Yes.
Let's imagine that. I don't know why I'm couching it as this, but I guess it makes sense in my head. Let's say you can pick four Bucks besides Giannis that you get to keep for next season around. And even if they're, like, becoming free agents, whatever, like, you can find ways to keep them. Everybody else, you're either okay with moving or actively want to move. What is your list of four that you really want to keep? I think it's harder than it seems.
It is. It really is.
We could probably walk through the first one together.
Okay. Is it Chris?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'm not saying untouchable anymore.
Yeah, I'm not saying. But he would be on my list. No one is untouchable besides Giannis.
Correct. Okay, so we've established these aren't untouchable. These are, like, preference. If you could build without, like, these are the guys that you think you want to see on the team. It's not, yeah. It's not you need to, but you want to.
Yes. Okay, so Chris.
Yep.
Dante?
I think so. You know, I think so.
Brooke?
Probably. Okay, so, cool. Did you see my The Office-inspired meme?
Oh, I didn't. Did I miss this? I'm going to look it
up. Yeah, I photoshopped Giannis' face onto Devin, the guy who got fired in the Halloween episode, and said, Giannis on the way out of the arena tonight. Wes, Dante, Chris, Marv, the Lopez with short hair. If any of you want to meet me for a drink, I'm going to be at the Yacht Club, and the rest of you can go to hell. So I guess, I mean, I might have left Brooke out, but Marv went ahead and retired. So he's in my four now. So that's my four, but I kind of ruined mine. But go on, you're three deep. You've got one left.
I want to pick Marv too, but he retired. Okay,
yeah, he's gone.
Wes Matthews.
He said peace. Yeah, I think. And I don't think I've said this on pods. Stop me if I have. But if I'm let's pretend we're John Horse and we have the same four. So that's good for us. And maybe our four is influenced by those were four of the five guys who it felt like really showed up to this game. But regardless, I think that'd be my four anyway. But if I'm John Horst, and I'd love for you to play this game too, my first two things I'm doing. One, thanks for the 2 years and the coach of the year and getting us to be good but not great, Mike Budenholzer. See ya. Two, sit down with whoever the, and like this part of number one is like hiring the new coach. So hopefully Ty Lue, but whoever it is. But either if it's a long hiring process, I guess, kind of during it. Otherwise, if I'm John Horst, we're playing this game now.
Ooh.
I sit down with new coach X, hopefully new coach T-Y-L-U-E, and Wes Matthews, and I say, listen, Wes, if the player option isn't enough for you, or if you want another and one with a player option, or even if you need like our MLE or one of our exceptions or something, we're going to use you this year. We're not going to play you 24 minutes in a deciding playoff game. We're not going to get you 3 shots a night. We think you're a valuable contributor, a truly terrific 3-and-D player. You're a great culture fit. We want to keep you. And I'm serious. I think it's that much of a priority. I mean, you have a lot of other stuff to figure out, but if I'm the Bucks, I want Wes around because I think one of the few role players who I felt like was really ready for that action all year. And even if his threes weren't always falling, I really do think more volume would help to solve that. He is a guy I want to stick around. So those would honestly be two of my first priorities.
I did see a tweet earlier, like right after the game ended. I can't remember from where. I'm trying to find it right now. But it was something about Wes saying we got to be better next year.
That's good. Good start.
You know, so like, I'll take that. That makes it seem like, hey, you know, maybe he's going to be sticking around. It is a player option, right? Yeah, 2.7 mil player option.
Which is a complete bargain. I mean, this year was too, but a complete bargain for someone that good.
It's the minimum.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, hopefully he can stick around. I think he wants to stick around. I think he fits this team. I think this team really needs guys like Wes Matthews. You can't get enough. You can't get enough of these type of guys. Like a tough guy, plays defense, a smart defender, can hit threes, can do some things on offense. Like, he was driving a lot this game. It's like, okay, cool. Where was that? You know?
Drew as many free throws as Chris Middleton in this game, man. He's just a useful player. I just think he's a good player. Where I'm at.
I've said that he shouldn't post up, but that doesn't mean don't get to the rim.
Yeah. No, he needs to do that more. I think some of that, I don't know. I think there can be a restrictive... I think let it fly can be bad because the Bucks will just like waste possessions, which I think we saw this entire run. And I think also it can be a little bit restrictive of letting guys like, I mean, look at Chris last year. I mean, Chris is better than Wes, but Chris was like unable to comfortably play his mid-range game because it wasn't part of the let it fly mantra. So I don't know. I think a new system could help a lot of guys a lot.
Yeah, it's just the amount of times that the Bucks took a pull-up jumper like 5 seconds into the shot clock, I was literally screaming at my TV, just like, what on earth are you doing?
Yeah, they didn't value possessions. I don't think they took anything seriously enough in the bubble. Like, way too sloppy with the ball, some really dumb boneheaded possessions, not funneling possessions through their best players. Like, it just felt like a lot of the time Miami, like every possession was a certain intensity. The Bucks didn't always have that. So I think that's honestly one of the more damning Budenholzer things for me from this run. Let's sprinkle in some optimism. Rachel Nichols. This is like shocking Rachel Nichols content that Bucks fans cannot even believe. Giannis using a lot of words here that should be encouraging for Bucks fans. Hopefully we can learn from this and get better as a team. Come back and hopefully build a culture in Milwaukee for many years that we can come out here and compete every single year for a championship.
You know what? I'll take that. That's a win. That's a win from today. I will take that.
I will too take that. It's the bar. We've talked about how low bars get. The bar is pretty dang low right now. That's good to read. I think
you know
everybody
this
says
is
that.
This is a weird season. You know, like the Lakers are tied with the Rockets. They're currently losing to the Rockets in game 3, given it's not even halftime. But, you know, the Lakers could go out, the Bucks went out. It's just, if the Lakers go out, then this season is officially considered a wash, and it's a weird season. So I never thought I'd root for the Houston Rockets, but I'm rooting for the Houston Rockets here. Because if the Lakers lose, then this season is officially weird, and that means, oh man, the Bucks can just run it back. With Giannis is going to sign a Supermax, and then we're going to be all good, and it's all going to be good. Giannis, please stay. I love you, man.
I don't like the words run it back, but Giannis coming back. If that's just running back,
yes,
then
yes,
but not
yes,
completely.
That's what it means. Giannis running back to Milwaukee.
I'm going to send a memo to the Blue Wire League office about you saying you're cheering for Houston. And any, no, I'm just kidding. Houston is Houston is like the plucky underdog in this series. I totally get it. But Bucks-wise, though, yeah, it's not good. I think what you have to do now is just look at – I mean, this is – in a lot of ways, it's an opportunity. I mean, I think now the Bucks have full – you know, justification for making some truly dramatic moves. And I think the worst thing you can do is stand pat. You have the one first and 2 seconds from Indiana. You have only one, after this draft, only one outgoing first in 2022 to the Cleveland Cavaliers. But the protections make it a little tricky to trade picks. But so you can trade some of your own first, a lot of your own seconds. You got a lot of players who, you know, haven't performed, but hopefully you can sell some sort of team on, giving you something for. But this is, you know, John Horst, come earn that Executive of the Year accolade you got a couple years
come
ago.
Come earn that league-low salary.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember that.
Come earn that bag of Doritos that you get paid every year.
Come get yourself a raise by doing so well this offseason, John Horst. You have tremendous...
I say bag of Doritos, like he doesn't make like over $500,000 a year. But
is that all he really makes?
He doesn't make that much.
I mean, I thought it was like $2 million per year. I didn't know.
Oh no, he makes less than $1 million.
Oh goodness.
I'm pretty sure.
Bucks, come on, man. I think he's been good. But if he gets them another superstar, especially even if it's just a star, not a superstar, but they get to keep Chris Middleton. I think those are my two scenarios I want to see player-wise. I don't know who exactly yet, outside of Chris Paul, who seems very, very available. But I think Chris Paul, I put it in the star camp, so he's probably the best player I would want to pair with Chris and Giannis. But if you can get someone truly better than that, then I would be okay with even moving Chris. Everyone knows how much I love Chris, but if that player is available for that price, I think you have to do it and give it a shot. But those are the two options I want to see. They'll find someone else to pair with Chris as somewhat co-stars, or somehow find a player even better. I don't know if that's going to be possible, though.
Yeah. Okay. Just to clarify, John Horst is in the final year of his initial contract. He signed a 3-year contract extension before the season, like in June of last year.
Okay.
But he is currently making $500,000 a year.
Oh, man. That's like lower than Vet Min for most guys.
It's like a fifth of Wes Matthews.
John Horst takes out Marvin Williams to dinner to talk about, you know, joining him as a buyout. And Marv's like, no, no, no. I got this. Please. Please. That's nuts. No wonder that Woj and others have brought that up. I mean, that's a wild number for what he does. What does Bud make? Like $8 million?
Six million,
I think.
Let's see here. He makes I don't want to know how much he makes with the Hawks.
I thought you were gonna say like a sponsorship at first. I was like, there's no way he has a lucrative endorsement deal.
It doesn't say. I can't find it right away.
I'm looking.
Not gonna
right
waste
now,
time.
That's crazy.
He makes a couple mil a year. Also, I just learned that his middle name is Vincent. I don't know why that's relevant, but here we are. Okay. I guess if we're talking major change, I brought this up before we started recording. The first, like, it was just funny to me that the first report to come out of this, after Milwaukee, you know, gets, you know, eliminated from the postseason, the first report, not about Giannis. It's from the great Mark Stein. Mark Stein, I feel, is really underappreciated in NBA discourse.
I agree with that.
Great. Just solid. He's fantastic. There are rival teams that believe Milwaukee will explore trading for Chris Paul, complicated as that would be financially, if Oklahoma City indeed makes CP3 available via trade. One more thing to keep track of as the Bucks enter perhaps the most crucial offseason in team history. So yeah, I think it bodes well for Milwaukee that the first report coming out is that, oh yeah, they're looking to load up.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I think this team, I guess it's rival executives, so it's not even like from the Bucks or anything. But I don't know. It gives me a little bit of confidence. I think Milwaukee may be realizing that they do need to, like, they need to swing. They need to swing this offseason.
That is positive. If I'm the Bucks, I almost feel like you don't want to get too cute and lose out, but I almost would look at CP3 as plan B. Kind of like get the negotiations going with OKC, but also kind of explore what else is out there too.
I mean, who else would be out there?
I have no idea, but that's why you make some calls. Who would
be
out there
that, you know, makes Milwaukee better? I guess no one saw it. Paul George going to the Clippers.
Yeah. It'd be nice if Giannis did some tampering.
I tweeted this out like months before Bill Simmons brought it up on his podcast about how I think that the NBA and Adam Silver, they actually imposed a tampering punishment on Paul George and made him sign an extension in OKC for at least 1 year. That's why he didn't even take an interview like a meeting with the Lakers in free agency. That's been my long running conspiracy theory. No one paid attention to it, but maybe it's true.
I could see it. That was such a win. It felt like for small markets everywhere when they got him. And now he is in LA with Kawhi Leonard. Crazy how fast stuff goes in the NBA.
It really is.
Including the Bucks, which hopefully Giannis doesn't go that fast. But
hey, you said years to come, Ty. I'll take that.
Years to come. Competing for a championship every single year.
That was cute.
Sounds good to me. That was cute. Yeah, I don't know. But this game, I guess this is technically a post-game 5 podcast.
This is just us trying to process things, I think.
Yeah, that's right? Also true. That's also true. I don't know if there's anyone else in particular to talk about from this game.
Not really.
I think we pretty much nailed everyone who really played.
I wanted to see some Haslam minutes in this series just for fun. Shout out to Kaius.
When's the last time he actually played?
He played in the final seeding game, I think.
Did he really?
I'm going to look it up.
I want to look up Udonis. People don't remember. He's still in the league. Played a whopping 4 games this year.
He played in the last game against... No, not the last game. He played in a seeding game against Indy.
Oh, the seeding game. I thought you meant... Yeah. I was like, they did not play him in the playoffs, did they? In the last 3 seasons, Haslam, this year, 44 minutes. The year before, 74. The year before, 72. That's like
24 of those minutes came in his last game time.
He's like 44 minutes this year. That's like 2 games of a star player coached by Mike Budenholzer all year.
Oh man, just one final dagger. This is probably the last time we have to talk about a Mike Budenholzer coach Milwaukee Bucks game.
You know, I sure hope
so. Can we get someone normal, please? Please.
I don't know.
Like, would it... The first, we have Jason Kidd just being an absolute trash heap out there. Just doing everything wrong. And then we have this guy who just sticks by his beliefs too much. Like, can we just have a coach that we don't have to complain about? That's all I want.
I would love an aggressively fine, not like Frank Vogel, honestly. Well, I guess, I mean, people are on him about Rondo and JaVale.
That's not really on him. He doesn't have many options.
Caruso, that'd be better. That'd certainly be better. Like, honestly, like a coach just like playing a guy we kind of hate would be a lot better if like everything else was pretty good.
Frank Vogel's been doing a fantastic job.
Yeah. Doc Rivers?
Oh my God, that'd be the dream, wouldn't it?
That'd be good. I don't think he's like great, but he's very fine.
He's a good leader, it seems like. Yeah. Which is what this team really needs.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I would love
Can they trade for Spoelstra somehow? Can they just like...
I don't think Miami's giving him up now.
Can they just like give Miami like... I don't know, give Pat Riley like a new yacht or something?
The Fawn statue.
Yeah, maybe. Honestly, I'd be willing to make that trade. I think the city of Milwaukee would be willing to make that trade.
We'd probably put up a Spo statue to replace it if he came here and did that well. Yeah, that would be good. I think it reminds me of the old, was that Chris Mannix who said, you know, Paul, would you rather have any player in the NBA or Brad Stevens? I think I'm leaning Stevens.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Do you remember this?
Yeah, and Bontemps too.
Oh Christ, that's like
Yeah, he was in relation to that Mannix thing, and Bontemps was like, I had it in my my celebratory receipts video after the Celtics win last year. Series win.
Oh, you did you. Nice.
Yeah, it was like Bontemps said he got asked on a radio show, who would you rather have, Giannis or Brad Stevens? He is like, Brad Stevens. I said Giannis, but man, Brad Stevens really made me think.
Oh my God.
He's that good. That's what he said.
Oh, well, at least he didn't say it, but that's still pretty bad. Did you start to make a receipts video for this series or absolutely not?
Absolutely not. That would have been so depressing. I only started making that receipts video after like game 4.
Okay, so you pretty much knew where we were. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. I did collect some though, but I didn't really, there weren't that many this year because most people were picking, I guess, I don't know. It was just, I was scared, I think. I wasn't confident in the series at all, so I didn't really think about making it. I knew this was like a legitimately real possible outcome.
Man, I got, this is a bad one. I'm never going to delete it, but Matt Moore, before the series, tweeted, he does the betting stuff now at the Action Network, and he tweeted, Miami in 6, and I think I quote tweeted it and said, congrats to whatever book gets Matt's money next week.
Oh, no.
And after game 1, I replied to him at one point, and I was like, go ahead and roast me for that sports book. you got me. I haven't even heard that much. Honestly, I will say, the Heat people, not that bad. I have not gotten much. I went on 5 Reasons Sports Networks, 5 on the Floor podcast, and was confident the Bucks would win and everything else, and I didn't get a lot. I will say, I think the Heat
people are
pretty
good.
They're
not as bad as like Celtics, Raptors, Sixers fans.
For sure the best outcome out of those groups.
Oh,
I think
sure.
The Heat people,
for sure. Heat people are nice. Honestly, just respect to them.
They're just so happy with like the Heat that I don't think they take the time to slander. Like they're like, they're so Miami. They're just like, they're having a great time in Heat Twitter, and that's what they're focused on. They're not like, let me go remind you what you said 8 weeks ago. They're just like, yeah, we like the Heat. The Heat are really good. The Heat are probably going to find another superstar. This is great. I envy that a lot. Good for them. But yeah, no, it's I will say respect to them as well from me.
Yeah. Congrats to the Miami Heat reaching the conference finals for the first time since 2014. Yeah, they played a great series. Jimmy and Bam were great. Their role players, Dragic was great. Hero was fantastic. Robinson wasn't that great in the series. But yeah, Tyler Hero was killer. Just they outplayed the Bucks in every facet of the game.
Yeah, they got a squad, and I'm seeing people picking against them. People are saying, "I think the Celtics."
I don't think
would
they're. I don't
easily.
Think they're going to beat. I don't think they're going to beat the winner of Toronto, Boston.
I don't think they're going to either. I think they might have a chance against Toronto. I don't think they're going to beat Boston. Actually, it's probably better.
I can't believe Boston's going to make the finals.
They might. That's going to be. I just, my solace there is I know good people in Celtics Twitter, and I'm only thinking about how this is good for them. I'm ignoring the rest. But I'm not counting the Heat out, though. I mean, we saw a lot from them this series, so I'm not counting them out. I think they deserve some credit. I'm not going to say they don't have a chance, but I do think somehow, depressingly, the Eastern Conference Finals will be harder for them than beating the Milwaukee Bucks, which is not where
Why'd
I thought we would
be. Why'd you have to say that, Ty?
Not where I thought we would be, but that's where we are.
I was so ready to wrap this up on a semi-optimistic note.
We don't deserve it.
Yeah, that's fair. We don't. The Bucks suck. And they're out. They got eliminated in the second round.
They did. But
in 5 games. Gentlemen swept out of the second round.
I hadn't thought of the term gentlemen sweep until now.
Yep.
So, on that note, everyone who's been tuning in, the run, like we've said a few times, the run is over, but our run of great podcasts is not. I will football, now that football season's back, NFLSundayTicket.tv, promo code BLUEWIRE, folks, I will hand this off to Rohan.
Yeah, it's just, like you said, we're going to continue giving the good content. We're going to do a lot of analysis on this team. We're going to turn this roster inside out. We're going to have fun with this, aren't we, Ty?
Yes.
We're gonna treat this like a 2K fantasy league. My league.
We might literally do
we
something.
We might literally do that.
We'll
that's an idea. But yeah, that's to come in the off-season edition of the Eurostep, which starts next episode. Wow. I guess it started this episode.
It just keeps hitting.
Yep. So if you liked our little therapeutic episode here of the Eurostep, thanks. We have been getting a lot of great support lately, and we do really appreciate that. Every time we get like a nice tweet or something about how someone's like just listening to the pod and like, you know, they enjoy it. It warms my heart. It warms Ty's heart too. We really appreciate that kind of feedback. And if you guys are liking it, make sure to like, you know, leave a rating and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Tell all your family and friends and new acquaintances about the show. Share your Bucks pain together safely, socially distanced Bucks pain together. And, you know, check out all of the content being put out across the entire Blue Wire podcast network. Like I said, we'll be back with you with off-season content, sad. But, you know, before I let you go, I want to talk to you guys about Bet Online. The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to Bet Online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.